Okay, good to see each one this morning. We again want to continue looking at Bible study. I want to begin today looking at some methods of studying the Scripture. Our method is the procedure, and our procedure should be systematic. It would be the systematic procedure or process that we use when reading and searching and studying the Word of God. It's our plan. And again, all Bible studies should have a plan. It's our technique, if you will. We've spent the last several weeks looking at approach. And like approach, an improper method is detrimental. If we do not approach the Scriptures correctly, that is detrimental to our reading, to our searching, to our studying. If our method is wrong, then that also is very detrimental. And it becomes a hindrance. It becomes a, once we make, we have an improper approach or an improper method, now we have a hindrance to relevant meditation. And if our meditation is hindered, then proper application is almost an impossibility. So, just like approach, our method is very, very important. Like an improper approach, an incorrect method blinds the eyes to precise observation. Again, when studying the Scriptures, there must be precise observation. When we read, there must be precise observation. Whatever our method is, whatever method we use, it should enhance observation. It should cause us to observe. And if we do not observe, now our ability to make a right interpretation has been greatly hindered. And how can you possibly make a right interpretation? How can you discover the meaning of a verse if you do not observe what it says? And again, when I say observe, I'm talking more than just reading it. You can read without observing. That is, you can read without making careful observation, just kind of skim. And as we've said many times, it's not how you read the Word of God. So, if our method is incorrect, our eyes are blinded to precise observation, now we're very hindered in making a right interpretation. Now, if our interpretation is wrong, we don't have the ability to make a proper application. Again, if you make a wrong interpretation, your application would be based upon your interpretation. So if you make a wrong interpretation, then your application is wrong. So, again, this is so very, very important. They all work together. So a proper method is absolutely indispensable to Bible study being profitable. We want to spend a few weeks on looking at some guidelines for a proper method of study, just some basic things that we must remember, whatever method that one chooses, there are certain guidelines that we must always keep in mind. And then after that, we'll look at some particular methods of studying the Scripture. But for now, guidelines for a proper method of study. Again, we have to keep these things in mind if our method is going to be correct. First of all, the Bible interprets itself. We have to keep that in mind, and I'll explain what we mean by that, and we've taught on this many times. Again, by interpretation, it's important that we realize that we are not saying in interpretation. Most books on hermeneutics is the study of Scripture, or the art of interpretation, as some would refer to. Most books on hermeneutics will make a statement somewhere to in defining interpretation that it is the determining of what it means. And we've already been plain about that. That's not interpretation. The author has already determined what it means. It's not for you and I to determine what a verse means. It is for us to discover what it means. And I think that is a much better definition of interpretation, especially when applying to the Scripture. So it's important that we remember God has already determined the meaning. No commentary determines the meaning of Scripture. No individual determines the meaning of Scripture. God's already determined that. If God blesses us, we discover what it means. And when that happens, of course, that's a wonderful thing. That's a tremendous blessing. So we're to discover meaning. In reaching this point, it's important that we remember that the Bible, again, is its own best commentary. What we mean by that is Scripture explains Scripture. And I believe that is a very basic truth that we need to always remember. Scripture explains Scripture. Now, there is a wonderful unity of teaching throughout the Word of God. There is a amazing unity. And each passage harmonizes with the body of teaching of the Word of God. Again, there's a unity. Everything fits. If it doesn't fit in your mind, you haven't understood it yet. Because everything in Scripture fits. It all fits together. You don't have a part out here somewhere and another part out here. Eventually, they all come together. Because, again, it's a divinely inspired... It's divinely inspired unity of the Word of God. No passage, no verse of Scripture will contradict biblical principles. Now, there are a lot of things, and a lot of people in their search for loopholes to sin, they'll say, well, the Bible doesn't specifically say thou shalt not do such and such. No, but if you study the Bible builds biblical principles. And no passage of Scripture contradicts those biblical principles. They all go into forming that foundation of biblical principles. So a correct interpretation of Scripture will always be consistent with the rest of Scripture. You know, sometimes I've had people ask me this particular question. How do you reconcile sovereignty of God with the will of man? First of all, that is a wrong way to phrase the question. To reconcile implies that there's enmity. And there isn't. There isn't an enmity there. They work together. You don't have to reconcile anything in scriptures. You discover what it means, and it fits together. We must always remember that. The meaning of a passage of Scripture will be consistent with the rest of Scripture. Therefore, we can many times, we may not understand fully what a verse means. There may be some confusion. But if it seems to say something contrary to the rest of Scripture, I know it doesn't mean that. We can eliminate that. It can't possibly mean that, because that would contradict the rest of Scripture. And Scripture doesn't contradict Scripture. So we can eliminate a lot of things by what it doesn't mean. That's why it's important to have a general knowledge of Scripture, so you know when you are consistent with Scripture. All through Scripture, you ever notice, I know you have, all through Scripture we see Scripture doing what? Quoting Scripture. Why is that? Because, again, Scripture is the best commentary on Scripture. So all through the Bible we see Scripture quoting Scripture, especially in the New Testament. We see many times Jesus quoted the Old Testament, Paul. Scripture quoting Scripture. The reason is Scripture helps us to understand Scripture. Scripture helps us to understand Scripture. Without a doubt, there are passages of Scripture that are difficult to understand. There are passages of Scripture, I believe, that you and I will never understand completely. I mean, I don't believe we completely understand any verse of Scripture. Completely. Completely, I mean by has God. Everything God means by a verse of Scripture. But without a doubt, there are many difficult passages in the Word of God. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Peter 3, verse 16. Has also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, then notice what it says, in which are some things, not all things, but in which some things hard to be understood. There are passages of Scripture that are hard to be understood. With that in mind, there's a warning. Which they that are unlearned in the Scriptures and unstable, spiritually immature, when they come to these things that are difficult to be understood, they rest. Not R-E-S-T, but W-R-E-S-T. That is, they twist. In their endeavor to understand, they begin to twist words. They begin to omit words. They begin to add words. And they twist as they do also other scriptures. Now notice, other scriptures. There are some things hard to be understood. There are other scriptures that aren't as hard to be understood. But these unlearned and unstable souls, they twist other scriptures as well. Not only that which is hard to be understood, but they twist other scriptures as well. Now, if you twist, for lack of a better word, if you twist a simple scripture, and if Scripture interprets Scripture, then if you've twisted the simple scripture, again, for lack of a better word, you don't have a chance of understanding the more difficult things because you've twisted that which explains the more difficult. And so there's a great danger in twisting scripture. Notice he goes on to say, ye therefore, beloved. Now, notice there's a change in pronouns. He's talking about they in verse 16, they that twist the scriptures. Ye, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. You know that there are difficult things to be understood. You know that there is a possibility of twisting the Word of God. Seeing ye know these things before, beware. That tells me that we are to approach the Word of God with caution. We are to approach it with caution. Beware. Lest, or for fear, ye also. The also going back to who he's talking about there in verse 16. Being led away. Now, how does our flesh, how does the devil lead us away? By twisting scripture. By twisting scripture. Lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked. It's a wicked thing to twist scripture. And it leads to error. Therefore, we must approach the Word of God with caution, lest we also twist the Scripture and be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. So, we have to beware of twisting Scripture. The way to do that is we are to examine other passages of Scripture that relate to what we're reading, that relate or teach the same concept of the verse that we're reading. Best thing to do is if you come to a verse, you don't understand it, first thing you should do is pray that God would open your eyes. Then you need to go to other verses of Scripture that have something to say on the same subject. So you have to have the ability to determine subject matter. It's amazing how many people can read a verse of Scripture and not even come close to the subject matter of the verse. And that's an amazing thing to me. If you're going to understand it, you have to have an idea of the subject matter of the verse. Now, in having an idea of the subject matter, now you can look at other verses that teach the same subject. Again, Scripture explains Scripture. So things begin to come to light. In other words, we should let clear passages illuminate those that are unclear, serve as a light upon passages that aren't as clear. Though we are to view the relation of the parts of Scripture to the whole of Scripture, having said that, we must also beware of overemphasizing distant context to the neglect of near context. So we have to always be observant of near context. So guideline number one is Scripture interprets Scripture. Secondly, Scripture is to be taken literally. Unless there is a reason in the text or in the context to take it figuratively. We believe in a literal interpretation. Now your more liberal circles of Christendom, they have a fit with that. They'll say, so you believe when the Bible says ye are the salt of the earth, you're foolish enough to believe that you're literal salt. Now, I'll get to that in a minute, but that's their mindset. That's not what we mean by a literal interpretation of the Scriptures. To read, to search, to study the Bible literally means this, that we read it, we study it, we search it in terms of normal language usage. Normal language usage. That's how you should read any book, not just the Bible. To approach the Bible literally means that we view words, we view sentences according to their grammatical sense, according to their grammatical usage, and we, in that literal interpretation, following the grammatical rules of language, we give figurative elements their proper place in our literal reading of the Scriptures. So a literal view of the Scriptures is to read in a manner consistent with the basic rules of language. To me, it's common sense. The Bible should be read, searched, and studied literally. That the Bible should be read, searched, and studied literally does not imply that there are no figures of speech. That's not what we mean by that. A literal view of the Scriptures recognizes, yes, there are symbols. There are figures of speech within a context. A literal view of the Scriptures, again, is reading with common sense. When I read, "Ye are the salt of the earth," common sense tells me I'm not salt. I mean, I got that much sense. Now, for anybody who says, well, you're so foolish, you believe that a literal interpretation, you have to believe that you become literal salt. You have no common sense if you think that way. I don't mean to be critical, but that's the truth. There's absolutely no common sense. You don't read any other book that way. So, a literal view of the Scripture is reading with common sense. A literal view recognizes the difference between a plain literal statement and a figurative, literal statement. A literal view recognizes there is a difference. For example, John chapter 6, verse 3 says, "And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples." Now, that is a plain, literal statement. Jesus went up into a literal mountain, sat down with his disciples. That is a plain, literal statement. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul refers to James and Peter and John, and he said they seem to be pillars. Pillars. That's a figurative literal statement. Pillars, of course, implying stability and support. That's the literal meaning. The literal meaning of the pillars would be stability and support. He's teaching it in figurative language. They seem to be pillars. Doesn't mean they took on the form of pillars, but they seem to be pillars. He's using figurative language to teach a literal truth. The literal truth being that of support and stability. So you see the figure of speech, the figurative language adds to the depth of the literal truth that is being taught. So all scripture has an intended meaning. All scripture. A lot of people do, if they don't understand what a verse says, well, it's not important. Well, it is important. Because all Scripture has intended meaning. And God has, again, already determined the meaning. So all Scripture has intended meaning, whether the particular truth is communicated to us by a literal statement of fact, or whether it is communicated to us in a figurative statement. Doesn't matter. It's still literal truth, either way. And that's what we mean when we say a literal view of the Bible. Now, there are different forms of figurative speech, and we'll look at some of these next week. And it's important that we understand the figures of speech that God uses throughout His Word. And He uses figures to help us to understand. For example, when it says that God has ears or eyes, well, He really doesn't. I mean, we know Christ, but He really doesn't. But how else would we understand God seeing if he doesn't have eyes, if He doesn't or hearing? Those things are put there so that God is helping us to understand. And that's why there are certain things that you and I will never fully understand. Eternity, for example. Because we measure everything by time. And you can't put eternity in time. I mean, we speak all the time. We'll say eternity past. But there's really no such thing. Because eternity is eternity. There's no eternity past, eternity future. Eternity is eternity. But we say those things. Those aren't unscriptural statements, but we say those things to help us to understand. Because otherwise, we have no way of understanding that which has no beginning, that which has no ending. So it's important that we get a grasp of figurative speech. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, again for Your Word. We again thank You, Lord, for the access that You give us to Your Word, and Lord, the privilege You give us to read it and to study it. And Lord, we pray that You would help us each and every day to read it more, to study it more. And Lord, that You would just show us more and more truth every time we open Your Word. We pray, Lord, that You'd be with us now as we worship You. Lord, help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.